My name is Kim Trice. I'm moderating and also on the panel. And I am joined here with Lisa McGlynn, Kay Jones, and Deborah Carter. We're from Rackspace Hosting. And for those that don't know what Rackspace does, we are a hosting provider. So we make the internet work, would be the easiest way to put it. So a lot of buzz around cloud computing. We'll go into a little bit more detail in terms of how that works if you all have questions on that. And then we have different components of our company. So on the technical side, we do have hardware, software, system administration, engineering, pretty much everything you can think of. And then we also work very closely with the business side of the house, which you end up getting pretty technical on that side too. So we're excited to have you guys here. We'll answer a couple questions, and then definitely write your questions down. We want to open up to the floor and be able to help you all make that transition if that's what you're looking to do. So to start with, I'm going to be asking these ladies, and I'll start with Deborah down on the end, if she can introduce herself and tell us what you do currently at Rackspace and give us a little mini bio.
Great. Thank you so much, Kim. So my name is Deborah Carter. I've been with Rackspace for a little over 6 years now. The entire time I've been at Rackspace, I've been in the talent development department. Started out in a project lead role, went to project manager, and now I'm the senior manager of learning and development. I manage a program called Open Cloud Academy. This program was started to help community members gain the skills needed for entry-level roles at Rackspace. I also manage our technical trainers on certification training for our employees.
Awesome. Yay, Deborah.
Thank you.
So I'm Kay Jones. I work in what is called our engine room, part of our organization. So in our engine room, it houses our more technical talent. Those are our virtualization teams, storage, database analysts, all those kinds of things. I do none of those things. So I'm actually in the career development space inside that group. I handle career development, organizational development, methodology and strategy planning for how they execute on leveling processes for moving from kind of one role to another or from one group to another, and then help them implement learning and development strategies that overlay the work that they do inside that group. So again, I'm not allowed to touch the servers at all, ever. No logging in authorized. But my job there is to help our engineers think about how to think about their career. Thank you. Oh, and I've been with Rack for 10-ish years, right at about 10.
Good afternoon, everyone. No. My name is Lisa Macklin, and I've been with Rackspace for 12 years. So today what I do is I'm Senior Director of Sales Strategy. What does that mean? What that means is I actually work very closely with the sales organization as well as our support teams and our product teams to make sure that the products that are getting ready to launch, we're actually there's a strategy around that on how we're going to solve our customers' needs and solutions. Before then, I actually started off at Rackspace as a staff accountant. So today the session's all around how do you go from zero to tech. That was absolutely me, right? Staff accountant going over to a technology company. From staff accounting, I went over to the accounting side of the house on the billing, learning how we actually invoice our customers. And then I took a chance and went over to the support side of the house. How do we service our customers through the technology that you'll hear about later? And then eventually found myself on the sales side where I truly get to use my accounting background, but at the same time still service our customers.
Thank you, Chris.
And as I mentioned, my name is Kim Trice. Currently, I am manager of operations for our product integration engineering area. What that means in English is basically I work with engineers that have been in the field for about 10, 12 years on average, specifically with Linux, which is an operating system. I actually got my degree in theater and dance, so that's quite different. I wanted to focus in stage management, and I was in stage management for about a decade. And I ended up starting out at Rackspace about 3 years ago as an account manager because that's a great way to enter into a technical field if you want to make that transition. And I've been able to gain tech knowledge through that process. So that's me. Yeah. Thanks.
fair to say that we probably don't have a lot of tech degrees on the stage.
No.
I would assume that my formal education's in economics and logistics. That's absolutely nothing to do with technology.
Absolutely. So let's start out, Deborah, since you work with Open Cloud Academy, can you talk a little bit about what you've seen as some ways to bridge a gap? Can you go through that process and speak a little bit on one of the programs that's specifically geared towards women?
Sure. So to give you all a little bit more context on what Open Cloud Academy is and why it exists, I'd like to give just a little bit of history on the program. So what Rackspace founded, or one of the things that I love about Rackspace, is that we foster collaboration. And when there's a lot of collaboration, there's a lot of innovation. And Open Cloud Academy really is a product of innovation. I work in human resources, our HR department, and our recruiters came to us saying, hey, we have some really big problems. We are finding that we have tapped out the IT talent in South Texas. We've opened other offices in Austin, San Francisco, other areas to attract the talent that we need. But what we really need is we need Rackers in San Antonio, in Austin, that are helping the 300,000 customers that we support. Well, luckily, in our talent development organization, we have brilliant instructors that have been helping Rackers grow and progress their careers and their technical skill capabilities for years. And so what we looked at is we took those programs and we put them together into learning tracks. We offer two learning tracks, a Linux systems administration track and also a network operations track. These are our two biggest hiring needs. And what we figured was that if we could make these tracks available to the public, we could train the community on the skills needed for entry-level roles, bring them into Rackspace, and then help them develop and progress their careers within Rackspace. So aligning with our recruiting department and helping them fill their needs was a huge success, but it also ends up helping to fill San Antonio's needs and helping our workforce in the San Antonio area. Also, other employers are struggling to find the IT talent that they need. They're finding the same challenges, that there are not enough skilled IT individuals in our community. So we rolled this program out in March of 2013. We've had 189 graduates. Rackspace does not guarantee employment at the end of the program. However, I'm pleased to share that 46% of our graduates have been employed at Rackspace, and our other graduates are being employed at various organizations in San Antonio and Austin. But through this program, we also had another opportunity to align with Rackspace's Power organization. And we started offering the Linux for Ladies Scholarship Program. So what we want to do is we want to incorporate more women into the IT career field, and we are going to be launching another Linux for Ladies scholarship this summer. It's going to start on June 1st, and the application process starts on March 4th. And I do have some flyers up here if you're interested after the program.
Awesome. Thanks. So let's talk about some war stories. I'm curious, let's start with UK in terms of how was the actual transition from being a non-tech to working in a tech field, working with techs, and tell me a little bit about that, as well as maybe some food for thought for everyone that might be interested in that, keys to success there.
It was horrifying. It was purely horrifying. I know nothing about technology. I'm sitting up here without my phone, like, super disconnected. So for me, it was scary, honestly. I was really, really nervous about transitioning into technology. Like I said, my formal education is in economics and logistics. I really like predictable. I really like put it in an Excel spreadsheet and predict an outcome and live in that space forever, right? And technology just does not work like that. So I was absolutely terrified of the progressive nature of technology. I was terrified of whether or not I was going to be able to keep up with it all. And it turns out that, for me, it was very much about immersion, for a lack of a better way to explain it. I learned Spanish by living in Mexico. I learned technology by living with techs, like eat what they eat, drink what they drink, watch what they watch, like get used to doomsday preppers. You're going to watch it. There's ways to kind of get inside that. I see you nodding because you recognize. So there's ways to get inside the head, right? So for me, it was really about an immersion process. It was about like making myself traditional flashcards like I did in college to learn what their words meant and to learn what those acronyms meant and where did they apply.
I spent all my time like living in white sheets and reading about technologies that I didn't really care about, and then going back and asking them, why does it matter that it does that? Like, I don't care really that it does that. What's the outcome? And trying to understand for me, what's the outcome to the customer's business is really where I found kind of my PowerPoint inside Rackspace. So Rackspace has provided this incredible opportunity. It's a service-based company. We talk about fanatical support all the time. We talk about service being our mantra and our focus. And for me, I certainly don't have a technology background, but my service background is what carried through. So I had 15 years of retail experience. If anybody's worked in retail or restaurants or anything of the sort, I bow to you, and I also look for it on resumes. So it's the number one thing. If I saw retail experience, if I sell restaurant experience, if I saw stage management experience, I hired Kim, so I'll take credit for that. But if you see those kinds of things on resumes, they really make you think, wow, that's somebody who knows how to serve. And that's what I care about. I can teach you technology. I can teach you bits and bytes. I can teach you how to read a white page. I can teach you how to speak the language you need to speak to be able to interact with the engineers. I can teach you how to have a heart of a steward, a heart of a servant. And so that's really, for me, where I was able to make my transition. It was to figure out, what's the outcome that I'm after? What's the outcome that my customer is after? What's the outcome that my company is after or that my group is after? And how do I align my skills around that outcome? And not around the technology itself, because I would get lost in the actual technology space. It's just not, I'm not wired that way. So for me, I think most of my war stories have come from being the super uneducated in the room and having to get really smart really fast so that I'm not outpaced by the technology around me, right? Because the technology just isn't my focus.
Yep. And add to that, I think to be successful in the tech industry, whatever you end up doing, you have to be able to be nimble and to like to learn, because it changes constantly. So in order to be relevant in an industry like technology, you need to be able to talk with the people about what's the new stuff that's coming down the pipe. Be able to understand it before the news really starts getting your hands on it, because you have to be ahead of that curve. And a lot of that is through blogs, through thought leaders, through things like Hacker News. There's different resources for that. Lisa, do you mind sharing with us any of your lovely war stories coming on board?
Sure, I can absolutely do that. So, you know, in the sales organization, it's actually predominantly men there at Rackspace. So being one of the only female sales reps and being non-technical, I definitely had to do very much like what Kim said. You just really have to immerse yourself. The other difference is, if you love to learn and you love to know the latest and greatest, you will just naturally gravitate towards the technology side. So as you're solving your customers' problems, and in my case it was through technology, I needed to learn really quickly how I was going to solve that. So hardware became something that I spoke, but I actually always related it down to their business. So if you keep in mind, Rackspace is a technology company, but we're really there just to serve our customers' needs through fanatical support. And so by doing so, understanding that customer's problem helped me to go figure out how to solve it through technology. And behind us, you know, we all mentioned we're not technical. We have a team of technical expertise that support us every day. And that's actually where I learned my technology background. And again, the means for me wanting to learn that was to solve the customer's needs.
And then just to add, I think that a big part of it is, if you're really wanting to get into the tech industry, take any job that you can get your hands on. It can be answering phones, which is how I got involved in it to begin with. My first job out of college, I was just talking with Lisa, was actually at Hoover's Dun & Bradstreet. And it's a .com. It was during the .com era. And I needed a job to supplement my theater income, which was nothing. And so I ended up taking a job answering phones. And I started looking around at the people that were there. I really liked who I was working with, and I liked that there was an excitement in the air, and usually there is in tech because it's new and it's exciting. And so then I was like, hey, how do I get a job here, like a full-time job here? And I had a mentor, very important, and she basically said, well, we have this new sales team that's spinning up that helps onboard people. No clue what I was getting into. And I said, okay, that's fine. I'll go ahead and do it. So you have to be a little brave in those moments. And it's okay. You don't have to, I think that as women, we feel like we have to be 100% there before accepting a job sometimes. You have to understand no one knows, especially with new technology, what the heck is going on. So you are not alone if you feel like you have a lot of room to grow before you're fully capable in a role. That's just how it is, period.
I'm glad you said that, Kim. I was going to hit that point. I think it's really important to understand that as someone who's not a technologist and maybe not even interested in it, you've got to leverage what you know. You've got to leverage who you are, what your skill is, where you've been. My parlay into Rackspace was actually in accounts receivable. So that's a collections role. You're calling out like, hey, pay your bill. Hey, we're going to turn you off if you don't pay your bill. In college, one of my 17 jobs through those years was being a collection agent for hospital, right? So I had to leverage that little bitty skill that I had in collections to actually carve a path in. And so I would just say for the audience, you know, if you're in a role where you're in an administrative capacity in some way, if you're working in an office as an admin or in an administrative capacity, you are in your heart a project manager. Somewhere in there, there's a PM that we can go and get certified and teach those little PM skills and kind of blow it out to an extent and take what you know today and leverage it to be something a little bit bigger, a little greater, a little deeper in the future. Same like I was saying with retail. Anybody that's been in that kind of service capacity, you're an account manager in your heart. Like, let us teach you what that looks like inside technology. Educators. I talk to educators all the time that are frustrated by the education system or love it and want to bring it over to another side of the world. And so I find educators coming into our space being amazing in a learning and development capacity or even in a leadership capacity in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, you know, to Kim's point, really think about how you can take whatever skill you have today and leverage it to be really effective in just a different environment. I wouldn't say that I was a more effective collector in one environment than the other, right? I was a collector. And so that skill had to go serve me in any environment that I was in. And I would just encourage the same. If it's a transition you want to make, figure out what skills you actually have. What are you good at? What do you like? What do you enjoy? And how do you leverage that to turn the corner and to make that pivot?
Yep. Good points. So I know that some people here are probably thinking about, well, that's good. There's a lot of business opportunity that segues me into tech. And Deborah spoke about ways that we've created a program in order to get more learning around Linux and things that we need. I'm curious, just opening up to the panel, as to what resources do you think for an education standpoint are out there that can be absorbed? Because currently the education system as it stands actually doesn't keep up with the technology learning that is needed. So a lot of it happens alternatively. I'm just curious what your thoughts are or if you have any resources that we can talk about.
Yeah. I live in videos personally. Again, not a technologist, so I spend a lot of time looking at commercials or, launch kind of promotionals for new products. I like the videos. I like the commercials. I like the stuff that really kind of takes it to the lowest common denominator. And then, like I said earlier, I live in white pages. Like every technology out there, there is some single page somewhere that will tell you its purpose, its function, its specs, why it matters to the world. There are white pages out there for you. So for me personally, like, I gravitate to give me the white page, let me look it up on YouTube, and take the very, very simple rudimentary route to understanding its purpose and concept, not how it executes.
Yeah, so I agree. I love videos. I mean, before we do anything at our house, if we build a fence, we go to YouTube. How do you build a fence, right? So I love learning that way because it's usually on demand. You can get short, smart clips on different things, and it really meets your lifestyle, right? So if you're really new to computers and you're wanting to get into IT, one of the sites that I recommend is Professor Messer. Professor Messer is awesome. He will take you through everything about a computer, basically dissects it, puts it back together, and gets it back operating. So definitely recommend checking that out. If you're interested in coding, if you want to go into software development, Code Academy is a great site to go check out as well.
And one more site I want to add. So being on the business and strategy side, TechCrunch is really where I go. And I'm sure a lot of people are nodding their heads. But that's really where you want to go to find kind of the latest and greatest. And then from there, I go to the YouTubes and all the other sites.
Yeah. And just to add, there's a lot of great organizations out there that offer free content and free learning. So Code Academy was mentioned. Code.org also has kind of a path in order to learn things. The languages that we see personally in the business tend to be Python is a big one, Java, Ruby. So those are kind of the languages that you can find on that. There's also Girls Who Code. You know, there's a real emphasis towards women in technology. And then, yeah, the computer hardware aspect, definitely go and buy one of those old computers at Goodwill and start tearing it apart, you know, if you want to learn about the hardware side of it. It's really about getting your hands on it, understanding what the heck is this thing. Oh, it's RAM. What does it do? Oh, okay, I get it. Next, going down the list in order to really understand the full context. I'm trying to think of networking. We have networking classes within Cloud Academy. And then do you guys know of any other networking? Cloud Academy, pretty much it. Yeah, networking's pretty intense. So
we do have a network operations program. It's 10 weeks long. But to prepare for that, I would definitely recommend getting your CompTIA Network Plus certification. And Professor Messer can help you achieve that.
Professor, he's amazing. So speaking of women, as we're in a conference about women, I'm curious as to what your thoughts are in terms of the industry right now and why we need more women in tech.
It's a heavy question.
Heavy question.
I'm gonna take a stab at it here. So one thing that I do want to highlight, and you guys all know this, is this technology industry is one of the fastest growing industries, right? And it's constantly changing. And so one of the reasons why I think we need more females in here is you think about the future opportunities, that's where they're going to live. A lot of them will live within the technology space. And when you get more females and males in one room, great ideas are formed and problems are solved. And so I think we're definitely going to need the female population here to help solve these great problems as we continue. I mean, a big problem is data storage, right? There's just so much data being collected these days, and that's a huge problem that I think is going to need some females involved in.
I think for me, I stay more in the headspace of seeing the need from kind of the organizational, I mean, that's what I'm doing today. So organizational development is certainly where my focus is. But I see women bringing this huge influence of equality into the space and fairness in human processes. And what I mean by that is, in the process of going from one level of technical knowledge to another level of technical knowledge, there's an opportunity there for promotion. There's an opportunity there for pay increase. And all of those moments in a career path have such an incredible impact on the kind of long-term earning potential that a person has. And so for me, I feel fiercely devoted to making sure that the human processes that we build inside our company that are centered around our engineering groups are really, really considerate and inclusive of the fact that some of our women might not have started in a fair place. They might not have started at an equal point in their salary, but I want them to have every opportunity going forward to earn in an equal way. And so for me, I think that's where I see the biggest benefit of having a lot of females around me in that kind of thought process is really making it fair and equal. Fair is probably not the right word. Equal for all of the folks that are going through the promotion path or going through a promotion process. I want everybody to have the same experience. Male, female, black, white, you know, yellow. It doesn't matter to me. Everybody should have the same experience going through that process. And that just doesn't happen all the time. So for me, I feel like that's something that women can get almost psychotic in our devotion to equality. And I just think that psychosis keeps the sanity, so to speak. Like that insane desire for everyone to have the same opportunity drives me to go in every single day and try and create those processes that make those opportunities come to fruition. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So I agree with everything that's been said so far, but, you know, I mentioned earlier that Open Cloud Academy was a product of collaboration, and I feel like the more women that are in IT, the more collaboration we will have, and in return for that, we will have more innovation.
Yeah, awesome. So my thoughts on it are, honestly, social good around that. So I was lucky enough to go to the Grace Hopper celebration, which is about women in technology. It was in the news a lot for some interesting information. Just Google it. And the women that I got to meet, it's a big recruitment fair. And so there's a lot of college kids that are trying to get internships and jobs and things like that. And I was just amazed by what's going on with these women that are really interested in tech. And the problems that they are solving are not your standard business problems. They are looking at social inequality and really, really big issues that exist in the world as a whole. And they're trying to use technology in order to solve them. And so I think that if we have more women in the workplace, we'll not be as egotistical around different subject matters. And we'll be able to say, yes, but how does this affect, you know, the environment? How does it affect the different cultures that we're currently in? And speaking to Kay's point, you know, the equality of everything. And that's not just business equality, but it's also social good, social equality. So that's my standpoint on that. So let's talk about what has been a positive as well as some challenges for each of you since you have been in the tech experience, since some of these women might not understand what they're getting into.
You know, it's funny. A positive for me came up last night. We were having dinner, kind of talking about how we were going to prepare for today. And I recounted a story that when I'd say 2 or 3 years ago, maybe been longer than that, when we really started our focus at Rackspace on women's empowerment and we built our power organization and that became a focal point for us, I didn't get it. Honestly, I didn't understand. I was like, I was raised by a family full of women that would kill me for separating myself from the crowd, right? These are family women that were like, you're not different. You are equal. You are the same as that man standing next to you, and you better not separate yourself. You better not put yourself in the special women's group, right? Well, I had to get over it, right? Like, I had to check myself and go, wait a second. There's something to this. And it's to my earlier point, as I was saying about equality and the purpose of, like, women feeling so fiercely devoted to fighting for that equality that we so deserve. I think for me, I was absolutely surprised to learn that I was not being an advocate for myself. I wasn't in all my, like, feminine pride of I'm going to do it. I wasn't advocating for me. I wasn't advocating for the women around me. I wasn't advocating for my peers being lifted up, you know, because they are women, because they have something to bring to the table. I was really, really short-sighted. So I'd say for me, there was a really positive experience in going into technology, in recognizing so much inequality and seeing this kind of opportunity-rich environment to now go after and figure out how do you make this a more powerful place for women to be every day. So that's kind of a positive and negative, I would guess.
So a positive for me really has been the flexibility of the culture. So at Rackspace, we put a lot into our culture. It's a great culture, a great environment to be in. But flexible work schedules has been really nice. Being able to work remotely from home or from various locations, different things like that, have made it really fit my lifestyle and the things that I need to do to support my family and the other responsibilities that I have in my life. So choosing to go the IT career path was a real positive in that way.
See, I actually want to share my positive and negative happens, or positive and challenge happens to be the same thing. So we've all talked about how IT constantly changes, but what I love about it is that it challenges me every day. So I'm one of those that I really just need to be better than than I was the day before. And IT helps me accomplish that, right? I can never get comfortable and say, man, I really know everything today. There's not anything to read. There's always something different. And so what I love about this industry and what's going to keep me here for a really long time is the ability to just be better every day, be better because I'm going to stay on top of the ever-going changing and evolutions around it. And Rackspace has so many avenues to make that happen with our Rackspace University classes and then the ability to really understand how we connect with the customers who are actually changing the world, right? When you think about the group of companies that we service, these are companies that are actually giving employees jobs, and it's really changing the way we live today. And so that's probably, while it's the challenge, it's also the best part of it.
For me, I think that the great thing is learning. I love learning and being able to be challenged. Very, very similar. It's really awesome to be in this industry and be able to be a part of something that is so cutting edge that you hear in the news daily, and you understand that you are helping drive what that news is saying, as well as you are involved with all of our customers. So you are touching so much of what's going on, what is shaping the world, what conversations are going on. We've had some very interesting customers in the past with that in mind. And then the challenge, I think, moving forward, just from a woman in a male dominated industry as others are just the learning curve from the other gender, understanding how we do see the world a little bit differently, and being able to understand that and work together on it, and helping to teach the value. And that's just a constant push. You have to just push that every day in a very nice, polite way. And eventually we'll be evolving on that front. So I'm curious, just because if some people want to be transitioning into the technical workforce, the interview process, let's get a little more tactical. The interview process, let's talk a little bit about that. What's the difference in terms of standard business interviews that you've experienced in the past versus what you experience at a technical company like Rackspace?
Oh, well, do you want to start there?
Sorry, it's a curveball.
Sure. So,
now it's time. It's good.
So interviewing at Rackspace is definitely, it's a journey. I'll put it that way. It's definitely a challenge. It's not an easy process. At one point, our recruiting team had run some analytics, and they said that it is more difficult to get into Rackspace than it is to get into Harvard, just because of the quantity of resumes that we have and that come across our recruiters' desks. But some recommendations that I would have for you is to make sure you're highlighting your skills at the top of your resume. A lot of women tend to put these at the bottom of their resume, but the skills that you have, really bullet point those at the top, because that's really what's going to catch the eye of our recruiters. Following that, you need to be prepared for several interviews. That interviewing into an IT role, they're going to want to understand a little bit more about you, but then they're also going to want to have hands-on interviews. They're going to want you to actually troubleshoot and problem solve right then and there. So just making sure that you're getting prepared, that you're ready for the endurance that it's going to take. But it's all worth it. At the end of the line, an IT career, there's a lot of progression opportunities, and I think it's a huge value.
I do want to add, Deborah, you mentioned that there's actually some problem solving that has to happen. When you interview on the sales side, we actually do a mock call with you. So we kind of give you the scenario, and, you call in, and you're actually doing a mock call with some of the managers. So it's not just on the technical side that you get kind of, tested and really understand what are those problem solving skills. And at the end of the day, that's really what we're looking for, because you're not going to have a book in front of you that says, okay, this is the answer. It's really your problem solving skills that are going to get you there. And so there's definitely a lot of testing that comes on early.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's the only thing I would add, is be prepared for scenario-based conversations, right? I think a lot of times in interviews, people want to talk to you about what they will do. And I don't want to hear that. I want to hear what you have done, right? Like, I don't want to talk about what you plan to do. I want to talk about what you have done in the past and how we might leverage that in our environment to make you more effective, to make you, a better version of yourself in your new role. So I would say be very aware of where you've been successful, where you've fallen short. Be willing to talk about it. Be willing to own that moment of saying, this is a time where I was less successful than I could have been. This is why. This is how I might address it differently in the future. I can tell you, in every interview I've ever done, one of the questions that comes up is, when was your last mistake, and what was it, and how'd you recover? If somebody can't answer that question, I have a really hard time moving on. It's a sign of humility. It's a sign of the ability to take ownership. It's a sign of the ability to problem solve and move past your challenges. And when that question can't be addressed, of when was the mistake and what did you do, it's really hard to get to anything else in a conversation. And the other thing that I would say be prepared for is, and this is just in general in tech, is testing. Tech environment, engineering environments, for whatever reason, they like to test you. They like to throw curveballs out. I mean, you know, I would say there's going to be times where people ask you things like, what gets you most frustrated? Which seems like a mild question, but that might be a little bit of a test. And if your answer is traffic, you're going to have a hard time getting a job. So don't say traffic, right? Because I think sometimes people, you know, kind of forget that the questions you're being asked are around a work scenario. They do want to know you're human, but they want to know you're human in terms of the work environment. So I'd be really cautious in your preparation that your scenarios are wrapped around work, wrapped around where you've been successful or fallen at work, and not so focused on the personal.
When Deborah said a marathon, she's not kidding. I would say on average our interview process and probably other, actually I know for a fact other technical companies, they want to see you from different angles and different points of views. So usually you are looked at by people that you work with and not just your direct manager that would be the hiring manager in that. We're talking about 3 to 5 hour interviews. So you get comfy, make sure you wear a suit that you feel really comfortable in. And yeah, be prepared to sweat. So make sure to wear that deodorant. because they're testing you and they're pushing you on different areas. Regarding the soft skills, yeah, definitely be humble. And then regarding hard skills, it's okay if you don't know something. That's the main thing. You know, I'm looking for the I don't know. Like, that's what I'm trying to get to the point when I'm interviewing people, I want to understand where that barrier is and where, oh, okay, this is where they are within their skill set. Awesome. Now I know exactly where they are and I can go ahead and place them within X, Y, and Z area. So there's some tactical information. At this time, I think what we'll do is open it up to questions from the floor. Don't be shy. We're happy to help. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
The question is, do you have any examples of older employees that have retired and transitioned into the tech industry? Absolutely.
I hired a truck driver last year. He's amazing, by the way. Or 2 years ago, maybe. Regardless. He's been a truck driver for years. He was on the road for about 10 years. In his life prior to truck driving, he was in the Army. And in the Army, he served in one of the stations or buildings that handled some variety of sonar technology on waterways and various places. I have no idea what the background, you know, was. But that's just to say, yes, there are tons and tons of opportunities. What he brought to us in that moment was an unbelievable amount of flexibility. You can imagine after 10 years on the road, the guy was like, hey, whatever you're into, I work at every shift, I'll be wherever, as long as I'm inside, we're good, right? So he brought to us an amazing amount of flexibility, a real tenacity, too. He really, really was excited to learn. He was so excited to be doing something different that he was hungry. And so that's what has really made him successful. And I would say for every person, I have more stories than I could tell in an hour about people that have made that transition very, very late. I've hired, I would venture to say, 20-plus people over the age of 50 easily, that it's their first time in technology. One mistake in all those many years, I didn't ask somebody if they knew how to use a computer. So I'm telling you, please know how. Like, don't come in, please. Like, save us all. I didn't ask. My mistake. I never made that mistake again. Now every person that comes in, I'm like, do you know how to use a computer? Okay. So we can talk. So understand that you can make the transition. Know your skills. Like, don't overshoot. If you don't know how to use a computer, start there. But know your skills and come in prepared to sell that skill and not sell yourself for what we're looking for, but rather sell us on who you are.
Deborah, do you have any examples that went through Open Cloud Academy?
I have many.
So many.
So many. So transitioning into an IT career is so possible. It really is. It's really within reach. It really takes a lot of commitment to get there, but it's definitely within reach. So we've seen various people come through Open Cloud Academy, which is an 8 to 10 week program. And we've seen individuals that were a fry cook at Chick-fil-A to a stay-at-home mom that was ready to get back into the workforce, from women that are transitioning from the banking industry or healthcare. And they're all successful now within Rackspace and other organizations. And so it's definitely possible.
And regarding age, I think that we need more older people in the tech industry.
A lot more.
Yeah, we're on this stage. I know we're fans of diversity in every which way and form, and it just helps the industry and the company become a better place. So if there is a very heavy leaning towards younger generations, you hear a lot about millennials right now. I think that there is a better school of thought. And the experience, the tenure and the career experience that is brought to the table is just amazing.
Not to mention the level of professionalism.
Absolutely.
In some cases, not all. This is not a slight against my generation. There's lots of us that are very pro. But there is a level of professionalism that comes with an older generation that's really nice to have around. That, mm-hmm. to my point of the guy I was talking about earlier, he's so flexible, he's so adaptable, he's so comfortable kind of going with the flow because he's been there, done that. This is not his first rodeo in a career. And so I find myself when I'm dealing with kind of an older set that I'm dealing with a very empowered set of people versus a little bit more entitled. So there's this space between empowerment and entitlement that draws a line right around 40-ish, is my guess.
Yes. Oh. Sorry.
No,
yeah,
that's okay.
There actually is a mic. If you guys want to start queuing up, we could definitely do that.
Prerequisites.
Yeah, come on up.
Prerequisites for what? Oh.
There we go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So
nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so my question was, do you have any kind of prerequisite to attend your Open Cloud Academy or, like, who can attend?
That's an excellent question. Thank you. So Open Cloud Academy is really open to everyone. We really focus on individuals that are 18 years of age or older, so adult learners. And we do have a prerequisite of the CompTIA Network Plus certification, which is an industry recognized certification. But, you know, not a lot of individuals have that unless they have it from a previous educational experience, work experience, or maybe military. So what we do is we offer a free self-study program to help individuals get up to speed and prepare for that exam. What it is it's a recommended textbook that you can read along with watching the videos from Professor Messer. And then we host a series of 6 workshops that are all at no charge. So what's really cool about the self-study program is you can come out, you can dip your toe in the water, give it a try, and see if it's for you. If you go out there and you try it and, hey, you know, I tried technology, it's not really the right fit, no big deal. We're happy to have you. So please come join our self-study program. We'd love to have you.
Oh, I think he's going to take care of that.
He's on it.
All right.
Is it back on?
There you go.
So I'm actually here. I've been in the tech industry for about 25 years, and I do have a technical degree.
Awesome.
And I'm a senior manager at HP.
Wonderful.
The reason I'm here is because I have 2 daughters that are into the arts, musicians,
yeah.
and all that. I figure when they get later in their 20s, they'll probably figure out mm-hmm. where the money and the development
yeah.
opportunities are.
A little bit of stability.
So I'm asking about Rackspace's future in Austin. I know. Are you publicly held or are you private?
We are public.
So do you have growth projections for how you plan to grow here in Austin? Because mm-hmm. they probably don't want to go
yep.
down to San Antonio.
So currently our Austin office is 600 people, and we are projected to go upwards of over 1,000 people within
5 years. We're expected somewhere around 1,100 to 1,200 here mm-hmm. in Austin. And we've recently announced, so I think I can talk about it. I don't know, Mary's in the room. Can I talk about perfect.
Yeah.
General counsel in the room.
Our
counsel
lawyer
says
in
yes.
the room.
So counsel says I can speak. So we're looking at a partnership with ACC right now
yeah,
in Mount Highland, right?
Yeah.
So For people here in Austin, if you're familiar, Highland Mall, we'll be moving over there in the next year to year and a half time frame, mm-hmm. And opening shop there, which will allow us to expand out to somewhere around 1,100 or 1,200 people.
Yep. Sounds great. So I'd heard that you had that partnership going on.
Absolutely. We're really excited about it.
Our product organization grows a little bit more aggressively here in Austin. In particular, we've got a lot of developer space. Thank you, product. We love you. but lots of developers, lots of coding in, you know, in the Austin environment, lots of opportunity here for that. But we also have our support organization here. Our sales organization is growing like crazy out of Austin. So I would say in almost every pocket of the company, with the exception of our learning and development group, we haven't quite started growing out here, but we're hoping in the next few years we will. So most of our groups are represented here.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yep.
What else?
What else? You can throw us a real stinker if you guys want to. All right, come on up.
So you talked earlier about finding your skills. Like, I'm someone, I graduated from college a couple years ago, I'm floundering.
Yeah.
So I'm here trying to learn more from successful women. And you talked about finding your skills, and I don't really know how to figure out which skills are the ones I should leverage at all. And kind of how did you each kind of figure out which ones was the best one for you to work with?
Mm. What do you get most excited about?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
a great question.
You know, that for me, that's the path I had to follow. It's like, what gets me fired up? What gets me really excited to get up every morning and go in? And it turns out that equality and processes around the human experience is what it is. So for me, I had to find what is the thing that gets me so excited to get out of bed that I'm going to hit the ground running. And for years, I didn't get to do that. Right. So for years, it was a practice of figuring out how can I take what I want to do long term and work it into what I do today. And so I would say whatever it is that gets you excited, that makes your stomach flutter, that makes you feel, you know, alive in that moment, that's where the passion lives, and figure out how to extract that and go after it. I mean,
I'd say, and if you don't really know at this moment, and I didn't know that I wanted to be in sales. My degree's in accounting. As a staff accountant, I was miserable. I was in an office, didn't talk to anybody, right? So if you're like, man, I have this degree, but I'm not really happy with this, it's going to get you in the door, right? So you're going to use that to get you in the door. But once you're there and you show your work ethic and you start networking within the company, you'll actually come across that department that you're like, man, tell me more about that. And for me, it was sales. I can tell you, I never ever thought I would be in sales, but I love it. I solve problems every day. And so you just need your foot in the door, and that degree is definitely going to get you there. So it's great that you have that. But once you do that, don't be afraid and let yourself be out of that comfort zone. I actually have to do that every day. I'm doing it right now.
So. Amazing advice. We talked about this a little bit at dinner last night, and I'm very much the type of like, I'm not going to let the river shape me. I'm going to carve out the damn thing, right? I'm going to backhoe my way and build my own river. And it turns out that if I just let go a little bit once I got to Rackspace and let the river kind of shape me, I've had this amazing career unfold as a result of it. But so much of what you're saying is true. I had to actually just go into a position. I mean, it's not like my dream job was collections. It's not like anybody's like, I want to call people and collect money every day. So I obviously started in a place that was just not comfortable for me. But letting the river shape you to an extent, seeing what opportunities come to you and which ones get you excited, which ones you like, and then go after it, you know, and be tenacious in your pursuit of it.
So when I was transitioning back from theater, I figured out pretty early on that I really liked working for companies that cared about their product and their customers. And I didn't care what company it was, honestly. I've worked for a significant amount of companies, and all of them have a pretty good reputation around them, because usually when you care about your customers, your product's pretty good. It goes hand in hand. And the people like working there. And so, therefore, the culture is really nice. And you like enjoying to go to work. So I started at places like Fortune's, you know, best company to work for. I started going down the list. And I said, yeah, that place looks pretty interesting. Let me see what they have open. Oh, okay. They have, like, answering phones. You know, I definitely know that that's kind of lower for where I considered myself, but you got to be humble and take what you get. And then once you're in there, you can prove yourself, network.
Right.
And definitely at that point, hopefully someone will see you. You just keep working at it. Someone will definitely pick you up.
Don't feel like you're required to use your degree.
No. No, not at all.
Like, my parents didn't talk to me for 6 months, but it's okay. We're over it now. Right? 10 years later, they're very happy with my choices.
See, mine were just the opposite. Yeah. They're like, yay!
They're like, yay, she's using her degree. Yeah. No, I totally didn't use my degree. I mean, my degree is in international economics and logistics. I don't do that and never stepped in that space. I had job offers out the wazoo because logistics is a 4% industry, a female industry. So it's shocking how small. But don't feel obligated that you have to use your degree to do what you want to do long term. I certainly don't use mine. Yeah. I mean, not in a traditional sense.
Another tactical piece of advice I would say is, so when we come into Rackspace, we do what's called a strengths assessment. It's the Strengths Finder. You can get that book.
Oh, yeah.
You had it? Okay. That might help you understand where your special sauce is. You know, I'm very good at this. Be able to start linking, oh, okay, this is the vocabulary that I'm very good at. Let me figure out how this has impacted community work, school work, work, and then be able to create a message around that.
It may also help your spouse, partner, or family understand you. Yes. Be careful if you unlock that box, but
add a bonus. Thank you. What else? What other questions?
Too true.
We can talk all day over you. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Sure. So, most of the time when our potential customers or current customers come to the sales department, they are asking for ways to maybe get an e-commerce site up, right? I really have a heavy revenue stream that cannot afford to have any downtime, so how do I handle my e-commerce site? Or they're calling to host a simple website. Or they're calling to host their back office. So there's lots of problems that we're solving. I am not solving them alone. I actually have a team of technologists behind me, solution engineers, right? Solution sales specialists that are helping. What I'm doing is definitely using that business background that I have and trying to figure out how do they make money, right? If we know how our customers make money, then we can protect that and create a solution around that. So the big part for me is not being, I've naturally become technical by listening to all the experts that are on the phone with me. So I can maybe take it down a couple of notches, but I can't do the complete solution. At the end of the day, it's all about you using your business skills and understanding how is their company ran, what do they most care about, and then putting our solution in place to match.
What else? All right. We can repeat it, too. You can be lazy. It's okay.
So we've talked a lot about the interview process and putting skills at the top of your resume. As someone who is also a college graduate and not really where I want to be, I've applied to a lot of different technical companies, and Austin is a super technically saturated market, so it's really difficult to even get through the HR screening process. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if you have any suggestions of how to make it through that process or anything on that sort.
Are you looking for technical roles?
Technical or non-technical. Okay. I'm getting a master's degree in a technical field, but I'm not there yet.
So. Gotcha.
Have you looked at meetups and things like that yet?
Yes.
Okay. Have you been able to network and get some cards out of that and start connecting?
Not yet.
That's what you got to do.
That's the
okay.
way.
Yeah.
Austin Cloud User Group.
Yep.
Yeah. If you want to start hacking on stuff where you're starting to learn a little code on your own, there's a lot of meetups. PyLadies. They just so many resources. Internships.
Yeah, internships like crazy if you can manage an internship. Yeah. That's not always great. And so meetups, I would say, are
but
the
it's
way.
About starting to network and really starting to lean on, you know, if you have start your LinkedIn profile. If you don't have that, it's really important because usually before I start screening people, I'll go and hit up their LinkedIn.
Okay.
It depends who you asked on that one, but it's networking.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thank you.
There's no shame in part-time jobs either. Like, if you need two part-time jobs that are of a technical nature to get you some experience and confidence, get two part-time jobs. You know, go to the Geek Squad or whatever. We hire from every avenue that you can imagine. And so, I don't think there's any shame in going and kind of getting some experience in OS break fix type stuff, even if that's not the long-term game.
Okay.
You know.
Perfect. Thank you.
Great. So we are about out of time. I thought I would just go down the row and see if you want to leave any parting words for our wonderful audience today.
Go ahead.
Deborah?
Deborah's on.
She's like, ah.
So I would say if you're interested in changing careers or you're interested in a career in tech, give it a try. Go out there, get involved in meetups, organizations, check out what's free online for training. You know, be a part of a blog or read blogs and just get involved. Give it a try.
Right. Yeah, I would just say lean into the discomfort of it all, right? Like it's uncomfortable for all of us every day because it's changing all the time. So don't think that sitting outside of the technology walls is any different than inside. Every day is different. Lean into the change. Lean into the discomfort of it all. And know that the industry itself is just ridiculously exciting to be a part of. It's ridiculously fun. Innovative, progressive in ways that I could never have imagined. And so I would just encourage you to, if you are really, you know, interested in going down this route, do it. Don't wait a second. Lean into it. Go full throttle. And the tech industry will meet you there because it is a full throttle industry.
You know, what I like to say is, first off, thank you for spending the hour with us. It was great being up here and, you know, really getting to talk about something that I'm passionate about. I would say take the challenge. So one thing I want to highlight is I actually had a father who was a Texas cowboy. So his challenge was, you know, cattle and horses and rodeos. And my challenge is nothing compared to that. But what I did see him do is work really hard with his hands. And so I would challenge you guys to figure out, okay, what is my really hard work, right? What is that challenge that's going to make me want to get up every day? Again, last thing, growing up on a farm, I did not think my challenge was going to be technology. That was not at all. But I challenge you guys to figure out what is that, what's going to make you want to do your very best and be better tomorrow than you were today.
Just understand that the tech industry is in desperate need for talent. So it is in desperate need for talent. And so therefore,
female talent especially.
Female talent.
Same.
Any talent. So we're growing so quickly that we can't keep up with the growth from a talent perspective. And that's really, really important to understand that even if you just have the will and ambition and you've made an effort and you can prove that you've made an effort and you can learn, then you've already pretty much gotten there. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.